Welcome to the Full Fueled Podcast. This is part two of a previously recorded episode. If you want to check out part one, you can find it in the description below. Thanks.
Well, the reality is also that Parkinson's didn't begin when they were 70 years old. That happened when they were 30. Those things started building up, right? And that's why I said it on a podcast that we had Micah and Diana on, is like, you're setting the stage now for that 85-year-old self that you talk about when you're 30 years old. Right, you're putting into place how you're going to age, right? And if it's fast food, shit, sugar, garbage, all that, like, you are predisposing yourself to metabolic disease down the line. Yeah.
Hands down.
You're not going to... It starts now, for sure. Most of those dementia and, like, brain neurocognitive things happen, like, now.
So you're talking about metabolization and being a fast metabolizer. And there was one thing that came out of, like, some of the research that I've been doing recently, because... circadian rhythm is just such an important factor in terms of understanding of how you're going to be operating day to day. And so we were just talking about this, but how fast and slow different people can metabolize. And so when you're a slow metabolizer, you know, a lot of times we just naturally later in the day want to go after like caffeine loading or putting caffeine in our body. So I'm actually a little bit slower. And typically you would think, oh, somebody that's overweight is a slow metabolizer. Mm-hmm. That's actually not true.
It's different with caffeine. Yeah.
So with me, if I drink caffeine, although I might not realize it, right? Because I usually fall asleep pretty fast. It still will impact my circadian rhythm because mm-hmm. of the fact that I'm not getting into REM sleep. And so then my body insulates differently later the next day. My hormone levels are a little bit off. And it just naturally... you can set your clock in terms of like when you're waking up. But the reality is that if I'm a slow metabolizer, I'm drinking caffeine at 2 to 3 p.m. I'm the type of guy that like I need to stop my caffeine intake around like noon to know that it's not going to impact my sleep later that night just because of the way I metabolize. Now, you can get that through blood work and getting an understanding of how fast and slow you're going to metabolize things. But man, it is so important to understand the body's circadian rhythm because it naturally is going to impact every hormone the following day and how you're going to operate.
And a lot of that's genetic. So like genetic testing is huge, and I'm a big proponent of it. I think everyone should kind of know what their genes are doing. But that's not to say you're like limited. We talk about this all the time. You're not limited by your genetics either. Oh, my dad has heart disease in my family, or like metabolic disease in my family. It's like, bro, epigenetics is way more impactful than sticking to your genes, right? Like, oh, I'm just, this is my life, right? I'm just going to be fat and out of shape. No, because there's so many things you can do to hack your biology, right? And so like, that's one thing to know is like, do I metabolize caffeine quick or slow? Me and my brother are 1 year apart. We have same parents. He could drink an espresso shot and go right to sleep and have great sleep. Whereas like for me, like it will keep my mind racing for sure. And so it's like the metabolism you're talking about is like basically if you're like on a graph, it's like, does it hit you quick and then wear off real quick? Or does it slowly rise and then slowly drop? And so that's the fast versus slow. And it's, I mean, different substances for different people are different. And then so that's just knowing your genetic variability. You didn't do a genetic test to figure that out. You just kind of found that out over time. Right.
Well, no, it came in our optimizer blood work. We have an understanding of that in our optimizer blood work.
Okay, so you saw that. Did you know before then?
Oh, absolutely not. You could tell. No, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. See, this is the wild thing about me, though. I will still go to sleep rather quickly, but...
it's not the sleep, it's the quality of
it. It's the quality of the sleep. Right. So, like, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing when you drink, right? People think, like, oh, yeah, I'll drink tonight. I'll have two or three glasses of like, wine or whatever it might be. But like if you do that at night, you'll go to sleep fast. Mm. You'll likely go to sleep fast.
It's called passing out.
But then it's the REM sleep you're impacting, right? Mm-hmm. And so your body's what they call like your slow wave sleep. And so those delta waves that happen within your slow wave sleep, it impacts you getting into REM and having proper REM sleep, which is ultimately going to... so like when you hit... depending on when you obviously metabolize too. So like that, there's variabilities that might change, but that is shifted out and your body, your glucosis levels will like spike, right? When you have like wine, right? There's a lot of glycogen in wine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, it's just naturally you're going to get a lot of sugars. And so as it's metabolizing, it's naturally going to impact your body's circadian rhythm. It's wild to like think about just like things that trigger and how you need to associate, okay, like, when do you partake in drinking, right? It's actually a little bit better to do it earlier in the day. Do that day drinking.
You're telling people to day drink? Right? Day you animal.
Yeah. Oh. But understanding your body's circadian rhythm and like how things are going to process and then ultimately how that impacts your hormone levels. I mean, that's all in a chronotype. For sure. Understanding your chronotype.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Corey, tell us, okay, so other than this product, which is the pre-workout, what else are you working on? You working on anything right now?
Yeah, so as far as, are you talking about in general or like that I'm creating like with the Van Dorn Nutrition label?
Yeah, with your brand, yeah.
Yeah, so with my brand. So yeah, we have the Transcendence. I think the next product that we're going to come out with and what's kind of been in the works, just the biggest, hardest decision to always make is like the name of it, is like what you want it to be, because there's so many names.
It's important.
Pre-workouts, yeah. Pumps and stuff like that, and like so many of them already taken, you gotta like search and scan and stuff. Transcendence was like kind of unique. Obviously there's no other Transcendence. There's like a couple companies that are like Transcend or something like that, but this one was unique. But as far as like a pump product, still don't have like an exact name on it, but that's what I think I would want to do, is okay. A pump, so like a pre-workout that's a non-stim, only because that's like the most requested thing. They're like, when are you gonna get a yeah. non-stim, because I work out at nighttime or whatever. Yeah. So a lot of people don't, just like you're saying.
So what would you include? What would you include?
So the thing that I would do with the pump, since now I can't have the nitrosygen in the new formula of Transcendence, I'm gonna put it in the pump, because it is such a great ingredient.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably load up, maybe even do more citrulline than what's in there. We just have the clinical dose that's in there, which is like the dose that they do research
five
with.
5 to 6K.
Yeah, that's actually going to like show like proven results. Definitely gonna have beta in it still, because I know people like to have an itch, and it's obviously it's more than just an itch with the beta. Otherwise, you'd be like C4 and just throwing niacin in there, and then just like scratch your face off, but get like almost no real benefit from it.
Yeah.
It's the oxidizer though too. I mean, the increased blood flow. Yeah, that's what you're looking to maximize.
Yeah. And
what about
then
glycerol? You ever?
Yeah. So glycerol, I have a couple products, and over the years, I've had a couple pump products that have had glycerol powder in it. And
makes your skin tight, bro.
Like, dude, but it chunks so bad in the container. So people are always like, dude, you sent me shitty pre-workout. You sent me. It's like they open it and they always send pictures of the inside. It's all clumped up. There's literally nothing you can do. We used to put 5 dry cards in there, but glycerol is going to make it chunk always. Like,
gotcha.
There's nothing you can do. So yes, it's a great pump ingredient, but the downfall of it, we have stickers. We have stickers on one of our pumps that we have right now, and it says clumps equals pumps. So like if it's clumping in there, you know, because
it's a way around it. Yeah.
So what it does is it absorbs all of the water, like, and that's what it does, like, in you. Like,
so if you're in Florida here and you open that tub up one time, that shit's going to clump up.
Dude, it'll clump before it's ever even unsealed. It clumps even beforehand. So it's kind of crazy, but that's like, you got to, and that's how I have to like kind of word it to everyone. It's like, that's what it's going to do. Cause you put it in water and you mix it, it mixes up perfectly fine, but no one likes to open up a clumped up brick.
You got to mash it down with the scoop a little bit.
Yeah. But that's what it does inside you. Like, you drink it and it's just going to suck in all the water into your muscles and give you a sick pump. So that's what it is.
Clumps equals pumps.
Clumps
is pumps,
man.
Baby.
Pretty
I like
much,
that.
Pretty much. But it's the glycerol powder. That's
I used to take a product. I forget what it's called that had glycerol, and that was one of the best. Like, it was like that pump where like I did biceps, and I was like, my arm was here. Like, I couldn't scratch my ear.
Yeah.
My arm was so pumped up. arm, it like kind of hurt almost.
Too
much.
One thing I want to touch on, though, because like when I first got into the supplement and the pre-workout industry, I used to go to the supplement store like all growing up. Like, I think I first took pre-workout, maybe I was like ninth grade or something. And then I'd always go to the supplement store. I'd get like 3 at a time and I'd rotate them all, because I always thought like, oh, you get used to this one, you get used to this one. So you like always circulate it around. And like, sometimes I get a good workout, sometimes I wouldn't get a good workout. And it wasn't until like, and that's kind of why I started taking one of the products, one of the pre-workouts from the right around the time frame that I left college and kind of dialed in on my nutrition, and then like started focusing on pre-workout meals. And I was like, oh, this pre-workout is like a game changer. This is like dope. And then I started to like actually realize it was a great pre-workout, a lot better than like all of the other ones. But realistically, determining whether or not you have a good workout and have a good pump is going to be based off of what you're eating. Like, did you eat that day? Did you have a bunch of carbs before you worked out? What is your diet like? Were you hydrated? Like, that's going to be the real effect of whether or not you're going to get a good workout. I used to just think it was like, which pre-workout did I take, which pre-workout sucks, which is bad. But most likely it was like, did I have like a bunch of oatmeal or a bunch of rice or pasta or something that's like going to give my glycogen stores full. And like, cause carbs give you a pump. You can get a carb pump.
You're not going to out supplement like poor nutrition unless with any supplement.
Exactly. So, I just thought that was like really interesting, but, a lot of people need to focus on that as well. Cause some people will take pre-workout. They'll be like, yeah, like sometimes it's good or sometimes it's not good. Or like, I don't feel anymore. It's like, how's your nutrition? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't pay attention to it. It's like, okay, then that's where the missing control group is.
Just bringing up one more thing. It's also like the microvitamins that you're putting in. It's so it's like, yeah, it's important to, I was telling my mom this last night of all things. She hasn't figured out why, like, she goes to bed at like 11 o'clock. She's like, if I go to bed before 11 o'clock, I'll be up all night. And I was like, have you ever tested your vitamin D supply? I was like, do you know where your vitamin D lies? And she's like, no. And I'm like, well, that's a pretty important thing to like understand and know. She's like, well, I'm out in the sun. I was like, you live in Michigan, number one. I'm in Florida and I have my shirt off like 80% of the time I'm home, like never off.
Take it off right now.
Pop that top.
Pop that top, Maddie Duke.
I told that to Jay Campbell. I'm like, pop that top, bro. So I have my shirt off, right? When I get home, I take off my shoes. I mean, not that I intentionally ground, but I like that's a part of like kind of that grounding is just to neutralize. So I like taking off my shoes and socks, taking off my shirt, just like being half naked pretty much majority of the time.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Which I think everyone should be, at least guys. And she's like, I don't know, I get enough vitamin D. And I'm like, no, you don't, because I was deficient in vitamin D until I measured it. And so I was like, if I'm deficient in vitamin D, I guarantee you, and I live in Florida, the Sunshine State, like that is the reason why like your sleep is getting impacted and you're like exposing yourself to blue lights. There's a number of others like sleep things that you can go into, but like vitamin D is so crucial. So getting those microvitamins in, that's why we built out the optimizers pack to make sure you're getting that proper micro supplementation.
It's not even a vitamin, it's a pro hormone.
So yeah.
Vitamin D creates cholesterol or works with cholesterol to create your sex hormones, testosterone, estrogen, all that. So vitamin D, I don't know where the name came from, to be honest. I probably could look that up, but it's not actually a vitamin. So that's what people don't understand. But
you can supplement it.
You can supplement it. Yeah. But
you can supplement it. And then what vitamin D, though, my understanding, and I honestly could be wrong on this, but vitamin D secretes melatonin. So you naturally have better sleep when you secrete melatonin. So it's like the storage bank, right? So melatonin, when you go outside, like people think that they are like their melatonin is just like is banked. Like they can get it through property. Like you can obviously supplement.
Well, that's a hormone too, right? So it's like if you don't have enough vitamin D, you're not creating all these things, right? These processes aren't going to happen in the body.
Right.
So that's kind of, 100%.
And so then when you engage, like melatonin's immediately engaged when you get into, it's your darkness drug. And so like when you go into darkness, that's when melatonin is naturally, okay, like the body's understanding that it's going to bed, right? Yeah. Sleep time. Mm. And so, but if you don't have an efficient amount of melatonin supply built up through getting that vitamin D, getting outside, that's when it's stored throughout the day, right? And so that's when it comes so crucial to have that level of supplementation involved in there too.
Well, that's
you supplement? Do you?
Yeah, I don't take like a bunch of like multivitamins. I pretty much just take Juice Plus. It's like a green, it's like a condensed like fruits and vegetables blend. And I take some omegas, and then I just ran out like yesterday. I got to go get more, but I started taking zinc. I think it's zinc.
Okay.
And I just take like 50 milligrams. So I don't know if that's too much or too little. That's found about different those research, standards. But yeah, just 50. But yeah, that's about it other than whatever stuff is in like the amino acid blends, the electrolytes that I take as far as micronutrients go.
Do you measure sleep as well?
Yeah, my watch does. I like to think that it's kind of accurate, but I mean it's a Garmin, so I don't know. Do you have any?
The technology is pretty good nowadays. Yeah. I mean, they're all, if it's one of the more recent ones for sure. I think they're all somewhat similar, you know.
And
it's I think the biggest thing with that is like using the same device. Like, don't track your sleep one night with that, and then the next night use an Oura Ring, and then the next night use an Apple Watch. It's going to be all over the place. You don't know what the hell's going on.
So I feel like, even if it's not 100% accurate, at least it can be consistent.
At least it's 10% off each time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I agree.
I was doing the Whoop Band. So I measured the Whoop Band for about a year. And like my sleep was relatively good. The one thing that I didn't love is like a wearable, like when I was sleeping, like having something. Like, yeah, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys do the Oura Ring. Mm-hmm. I know that gets really good feedback too.
Okay.
That probably be something a little bit better for me just because it's on, but I don't even wear rings. But you know, it's awesome to track your sleep. I just chose to do it for a year because I was like, I want to see what range I'm in, if I'm getting proper REM. Just because that's like so important to like overall health and longevity. One of the things we were talking about was like we predispositions are like where we can make excuses in terms of where those lie. And so like people make excuses, oh, my mom and dad had like dementia or Parkinson's or whatever it might be. And the one crucial thing, going back to that thing I said earlier in the podcast of like, did my 85-year-old self thank me for what I did today? That like all those like precursors, exercise, expanding your VO2 max, getting proper sleep delays that, right? So even though that might be in your genetic makeup, that pushes that out, right? And so like if I'm doing these things, these naturally will like be pushed out. So maybe your mom or your dad might have got Parkinson's when they're 70 years old. The reality, that might be in your genetic makeup still.
Well, the reality is also that Parkinson's didn't begin when they were 70 years old. That happened when they were 30. Those things started building up, right? And that's why I said it on a podcast that we had Micah and Diana on, is like, you're setting the stage now for that 85-year-old self that you talk about when you're 30 years old, right? You're putting into place how you're going to age, right? And if it's fast food, shit, sugar, garbage, all that, like you are predisposing yourself to metabolic disease down the line. Yeah.
Hands down.
You're not going to, it starts now for sure. Most of those dementia and like brain neurocognitive things happen like now.
When do you feel, because I've had this conversation actually with like one of a client that started literally Monday. A lot of people, they don't realize like, and like you were saying with the basketball, like there's people in their 20s and I know people that are my age and they're like, oh dude, like back in my day, I used to be able to do that. And they're like beer belly now and like act like, and like someone like you, or like, I know people that are in their 40s, 50s that are like super active, six pack, like whatever, they're in great shape. And like the number can't be an excuse for someone that's like in their 20s. But with my client, the conversation that he was saying, he's like, dude, I'm 28 now. It's like, I'm looking for longevity. I'm trying to like dial it in. Now's the time to like learn everything I can about nutrition, training, how I can like be in the best shape ever, play with my grandkids and not like be dead or like be like metabolically sick or just sick or have an illness. When is like the turning point for like the majority of people you think that they like start focusing on that?
If you want to hear your question answered live on the show, submit it to ask@fullfuel.com. Check out the Optimizers program where we build max muscle, improve longevity, and get guys freaking shredded so that they can crush it at life for as long as possible.
Live full fueled. Live beyond limits, baby. Yeah, what I've seen specifically, because we target 30 plus, like 30, right? 30s? But it's in that 30 range where people start, and you know, I think kids have a major factor in that too. Mine wasn't. I went through a state of depression in my my mid-20s because I'm like, I didn't go play basketball. I could have played collegiate basketball and just was like, I should have gone to a JUCO school, like worked up my skill set a little bit more, and then I could have gone. I was probably prepared mentally then. And I'm like, I chose not to because I had a bad attitude. And so then I got out of that and I just was like, my best days are behind me. Like, not going to play basketball again. And so that mentality was like, I held on to that for like 3 or 4 years. Man, I should've. But then on the outset of that, you know, I talk about this all the time, but I like went into this Celebrate Recovery program and I'm like, God, I need to figure my mindset out, right? I like, please. And so I thought it was for a bunch of drug addicts, but the reality is it was like exactly what I needed. And so like I read this Bible cover to cover and I'm like, oh, I get that. Like I got all these stories. But then it became like, dude, my best days are ahead of me no matter what. Like if I'm walking and breathing, like somebody asked me how I'm doing. Dude, I had a couple L's the past week and in some like just investment activities that I was working on. And the guy asked me how I was doing. I was like, dude, Freaking, I'm blessed, man. I'm walking and I'm breathing. I'm walking and I'm breathing. And so there's that days, like everyone's rock bottom is different. So like there's variability amongst everyone. But what I've seen, honestly, it's where guys specifically, we're talking about in the realm of guys, right? Because I can empathize with guys, is that in their 30s, they're still like they want to be high earners. They want to, and then they start having kids. Like they probably get married and start having kids. But like just the busyness of life, they're like, dude, I don't have time for this anymore. I got to run my kids to friggin' soccer every weekend, and then I gotta work, you know, 12 hours a day. But how inefficient do you become then? And like, and then they get lack of clarity, and then every year they're adding on 2-3 pounds, and then. Well, now I'm 30 pounds overweight. Mm. And that's when, like, I don't want to get myself out of breath again. I don't want to do all these things that are really, really uncomfortable to do.
It's a lot harder to start again, yeah.
It's super, super hard. Yeah. And so that turning point then becomes, man, I let myself go for the past, like, 10 years. Like, for, you know, like, 26, man. Like, I look back, I look good then. But shoot, man, look at me now. And it usually is like a picture, you know? Of guys that are hitting rock bottom, they're like, what
when they realize
happened? when they realize
they're like, picture of himself back then, they're like, damn,
yeah,
that's and a so bad angle.
I'm a big believer, you know, I coach totally. People through this too, but I'm a big believer in wherever you are, like no matter what, you have to project into the through vocalization, really like tell either looking yourself in the mirror or telling other people. I'm a big believer in telling other people too. I don't even care, even if you aren't there, of where you're going, right? Mm-hmm. And so like that verbalization over and over again until it becomes a redefinition of that truth narrative of, and that's where I go, we came up with this concept of the forever athlete. It's like, I don't care if you're 30 pounds overweight. I don't care if you thought you were an athlete at like 18 or 22 or 26 or whatever, like you still are. And then it's that projection of where you're going. Right. And so with me, I have a decent vertical still right now. Like, I mean, I can't like dunk, but I can pop up and grab, you know, the rim, both hands. And I'm like, dude, coming up on 40, like that's like, there's a progression in that. Right. Eventually that probably will go away, but I'm going to age gracefully into that approach. But it usually is in that 30 time frame where you'll just see the business and busyness of life that they just let it go.
That's mm-hmm. it. Yeah. I think it like transitions slowly, like late 20s to early 30s is like that shift starts to happen. You get out of college, you're still got energy cause you're in your 20s, but you start to take on more responsibility. Maybe now you got some kids, now you're getting promoted, and it's like, those priorities take over the fitness priority for most people, right? I think we're outliers in this realm. I never was not fit like my entire after high school, you know what I mean? Like I've always been. So, but I prioritized it. Most people don't.
Yeah.
And so I think my take to that then is like, it will never be easier to make that change than it is right now. Yeah, it's always going to just, time. Every day you prolong it, it's going to get a little harder. It's going to get a little harder. So you got to change right now, whether that's a little bit or a lot, you choose, right? Like however I'm going to go about that, but it's not going to get any easier the more you like sit on that. You know what I mean?
That's why we do this podcast too, because at the end of the day, like I think that narrative is changing though. People are thinking at 20, he was 28, your client.
Yeah. Yeah. About to be. Yep.
About to be 28. So, no, your client.
Client he's about to be 28.
Oh, he's about to be 28.
He's like a
okay.
month younger than me. Yeah.
So, you know, that narrative is changing where you're seeing guys like, I see guys like in their like late 40s and 50s where longevity isn't even on their thing. They're just like, I'm aging, like whatever. It's naturally to gain weight. Yeah. But like, I think in the 20s and 30s now, like that generation, the millennial generation is thinking a little bit differently. Mm. I think they're catching it a little bit earlier. Like, man, I'm digressing like pretty quickly and I need to catch up on this. And I think the dialogue is shifting, the narrative shifting a lot more with the way information is exposed now. So like when I chose to do cold water, it started cold water therapy, right? So I started doing cold water therapy probably about like 29, 30 is when like cold showers is how I introduced myself to it. Right. And then I'm like, well, there's gotta be a little bit more to this. Right. And then building that up. Last year, though, which I don't believe in this, and I think we touched on this a little bit prior to the podcast, but like, you know, fasting has been this like hot topic. So I guinea pigged myself with fasting, lost an insane amount of muscle mass, like an insane amount of muscle mass, right? Yeah. Because I was still focusing on cardiovascular. I was fasting like a day a week and that like a full 24 hours. And when we talk about fasting, it's 18 plus hours of fasting.
You were
right?
probably under protein though.
Oh, under protein as well. I was, yeah, because I was testing just out to like a caveat, vegan just piece to make sure and wasn't getting nearly enough protein in.
Not enough protein.
So although I was like, I was operating at a high level. I literally, I mean, my cardiovascular was phenomenal. Yeah. But the reality is that's not the component of longevity.
I bet you tanked your tea with that, dude.
Yeah,
I think you tanked your tea with that shit because you said you were vegan. I didn't know you went vegan. How long did you do that for?
Not very long. Okay. I mean, I tested it out for a month. It was just so hard to get food, like the right food in going vegan. So like I don't think it's bad to like, you know, test that out, trigger your body. You were saying that level of like,
I mean, I use vegan in those detoxes because it's like easily consumable stuff. Your body's going to break it down pretty easily, but you're not getting the amino acids. You know what I mean? And that's where you lost muscles. Right. You didn't have amino acids or complete protein sources and then freaking burning it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But to go back to the point, man, I think the narrative is changing. The narrative for sure. I think people are in their 20s. Are thinking that way. They're like, man, I let a few years go by. One big thing that I've seen is that, you know, I focus on money too. I believe in wealth, right? And that like you still build wealth, but does it come at the compromise of your health? Because you get to choose what's more important and they can have a symbiotic relationship, right? That you don't need to make money on fitness like what we do and teaching people this stuff. But the reality is that you can put it as like that number one, as you're setting that standard, and then that wealth component, yeah, you might make a little less money. I don't think that's the case. I think you'll make more money in the long run.
The discipline of being fit will help you.
And this is the reason why I believe this, because this is what I love about being an entrepreneur, is this is the way I think. I don't think in a scarcity mindset, because if I can maintain my health, the likelihood is I can be more efficient and likely live longer and be able to work longer because I'm never going to retire, right?
That's true.
So if I'm I can pick and choose. I still pick and choose of the hours of the day I like want to work. I work very hard right now. But I also put in that component of like health is my main priority because number one, and I say this all the time in our podcast, with kids, things do trigger. You got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
All right. So you don't have any kids though, right?
Not yet.
So it's good. Not that when a kid comes into your life, right? That a big piece for me is now I'm a model. Mm-hmm. Like I model that, right? Yeah. And so I'm modeling whatever I'm doing. And so if I'm not modeling correctly, I'm not setting a standard that like I want them to be, right? And so I'm like then I'm mitigating risk. Do I want this kid to be like,
do you want your kid to be fat and lazy?
Right.
Then why are you fat and lazy?
Yeah. Exactly.
You're gonna do everything you do. My kids do everything I do.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're incorporating them into those things. So we do everything together. Like one thing that we have, and this is a small little tidbit and hack that I think so many people could take away. You never sit down after dinner. We always walk. We walk a mile after every That's dinner. Awesome. We never sit down and watch TV or on our tablets. We get together as a family. My daughter told me this last night. She's like, Dad, you always say like we need to go for a walk. And I'm like, absolutely, because we're setting a standard, right?
She's gonna remember that like her whole life. How old is she?
She's four.
She's gonna just remember. Well, you're gonna keep saying it, but she's absolutely always gonna remember that. Yeah, it's a thing Dad always did.
The first 10 minutes after dinner are the most important things that you can do for your health. Yeah. And so like you can become static or you can get up and walk, and we choose to walk as a family. So anyways, you know, that's been the case with my life, but I think a strong narrative is changing right now.
Yeah,
definitely. But
and it takes guys like us to like educate people, because that's a lot of it too. And we talk about this all the time, is like, there's just such a lack of knowledge in the realm. Like, you're taught all this curriculum in school, and like Matt knows I'm like a little anti like conventional school. Like, I just think they teach you all this stuff that like you don't use in real life. Like, history is great, but I can Google that anytime I want. Why don't they teach kids how to do taxes? Why don't they teach kids how to run a business? Why don't they teach kids how to eat healthy? Like, what schools is that freaking taught in? They give you pizza and shit for lunch all the time. just say that like the model is not the model, like any parents listening, the model is not out there for your kids. You got to be that model. So
huge.
And yeah, I mean,
take that with you.
100%.
I'm sure you
got a girlfriend. I don't doubt this guy, bro. He's going to freaking crush it.
Kids are going to be dialed, man.
Dialed, man. You're dialed. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Let me ask one more question, bro. Yeah. We ask this all the time. It's a full fuel question. We have six pillars: fuel, movement, sleep, mind, spirit, and work, right? And if you got all six of those things dialed in, like you are functioning high level at all of them, that's being full fueled. What does that look like for Corey Van Dorn?
So I have the three that are dialed in right now, because I break it down differently with like my clients and like my people. I break it down into three. It's going to be the training, the nutrition, and then the rest and recovery. And then I break it down almost like it's like a square. And then it's like the quantity, the quality, and the timing of each of those three. And if you can break it down into those nine. So I think I got those three unlocked. What were the other three in yours?
Spirit, work, and mind. I mean, and then sleep's the one too, but you had rest recovery. So yeah, I'd say spirit, work, and mind are probably the ones.
I would say added. I would say I need to definitely work on the mind one. I just want to, I mean, I'm always trying to learn, but I think I can definitely double down on that. I mean, I'm like 10X on like training, nutrition, rest, and recovery. I got that down to a T. Expanding like my knowledge, learning more and more and more. That's what I want to really like do these next like forever, really, but like really hammer down on right now.
And along with like mindset too, right? It's like, are you in a growth mindset or are you in a scarcity mindset, which we talk about all the time. Like, is this scarcity? Am I thinking like, oh, what could happen? Or am I like, no, fuck it, let's go for it. If it works, it works, man. Like, you know, but always like pushing forward. And I take risks, you know me, man. I'm like the type to like jump first, like see what's underneath me after. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Let's just jump, bro. Mm-hmm. If there's rocks, there's rocks. If there's water, cool.
But yeah, like, there's going to be a parachute on the way down.
Somebody's going to jump off a cliff onto rocks and freaking blame you for that. So that was a metaphor. Don't do that. For anyone listening, it's a metaphor.
Yeah, no, I think from I'm super nerdy when it comes to that. But like, if you have that longevity mindset of like preparing your mind and consistently growing, there's that neurological component that creates more neuroplasticity within the brain. The more you read, the more you consume, the more knowledge you can have. It just is ultimately just going to make you more powerful human. So that's what it's about. Surrounding yourself with the right people, consistently learning, growing.
That's living full fueled, man.
That's living full fueled.
Full fueled, baby, full fueled.
Corey Van Dorn, thanks so much, brother.
Appreciate you guys having me, man. It's been
live
fun.
Live full fueled.
Much love.
Full fueled.
Live full fueled. Live beyond limits.